Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, and welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. I'm the ghost of Paul Wheatley, and welcome, listeners. We're back again with another exciting melange of technology news from the world of iOS. If you're a regular listener, you might already have coined that I'm not Paul Wheatley, because he's not turned up yet. So we thought there were two things we could do, one of which is to politely wait another 15 minutes for him to turn up, or we could just start in his absence, and when he turns up, we'll add him to the Skype call and take the mickey out of him. Well, and you can listen in. So we've got the usual panel, apart from Paul Wheatley. I'm Roddy McCleary, and to my left, as Paul would say, is the redoubtable Ian Mackay. Ian, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks, Roddy. How are you doing?
I'm actually in a really, as I mentioned to him, in a really bad mood today. But the cheeky...
Well, I look forward to talking to you for an hour.
Well, the cheeky scamps that we are carrying on the podcast without Paul's actually cheered me up a bit. It's a little bit of malfeasance, as it were.
Fight the power, man.
Aren't we, though? Fighting the power. And to either my left or my right, or it doesn't really matter what direction he is because it's just all on Skype anyway, is Robert Streak Machine Falk. Robert, how are you?
Hello. Oh, I'm quite fine. I'm very caffeinated up, as per usual. So, yeah, I think I'll be babbling on inanely and saying nonsense and things like that I usually do. Hey, here, there I go. Yeah.
It's just business as usual for you, then.
This is perfectly normal. I always get like really high on caffeine and I just go bouncing around the ceiling for a few hours.
Now, I actually thought for a second that Paul had popped up in Skype, but is he doing that for you? Can you see his little picture?
I see him, but...
He's not here. Well, until we can hear him, he doesn't exist. Mm. So,
yep, I agree.
First things first, the news. What have we got today in our enormous bag of news? I think the first thing in our show notes, certainly, is that Tim Cook has said there will be no new products until the fall, or autumn, as we call it, of this year, and with more coming in 2014. Now, it did say in the show notes here we had Business Insider link, and we don't like linking to Business Insider because, quite frankly, they're the lowest common denominator. But nonetheless, there is a Business Insider link there. Somebody commented that, Ian, was that you? Says it's written by Jay Yarrow.
No, not me.
I'll take the blame for that.
Was that you? Yep. And that's never a good sign. But I have to say, even though it's in Business Insider, this one does happen to be true. That was Ian Numbers Mackay. What do you call the quarterly earnings thing?
The quarterly earnings?
That's exactly it. So it was as part of that announcement, wasn't it?
Is that a very curious Paul I hear?
Hello!
It is.
Hello, Paul. You were late so we started, Paul.
No, and that's fine.
Yeah, so you're late. Get out. You're not in this podcast anymore.
Apologies. I had all sorts of dinner-related issues and then cabling-related issues, so I'm here, and that's the main thing.
Now, you do realise that we've already started without you.
That's fine. I'll jump in. Excellent. Are you wanting to continue? Are you just going to continue a host for this evening, and I'll just kind of sit here and play your part for the evening?
Well, why don't I do the news, and then we can argue about it?
Okay, fire on.
So we have said that, it's interesting, Tim Cook has said, he's now giving assurances that there will be more products, but they're not going to be until the end of this year or next year. And that was accompanying some, what a lot of the analysts are saying were rather disappointing results for this quarter. Was it 9-something billion in profits?
Yeah, it was disappointing, but it was actually up on what the analyst expectations were, wasn't it?
So it was actually really good. I
would still like a percent of that money in my bank account, frankly. So I think it's a good quarter.
Oh, I suppose the thing it's a poor quarter for Apple, but it's still really very good figures.
Yeah, the people were expecting more revenue growth, and they weren't showing revenue growth. I think it was actually slightly less than last year.
Yeah,
it's just as well Apple have 100-odd billion in the bank, just in case.
Indeed.
They're certainly not going out of business anytime soon, as some as Business Insider would like to have you think.
Yeah, well, I'm quite upset about this actually, because I want a new laptop and I don't want to wait until autumn for it.
Well, carry on.
No, you carry on.
It was kind of suggesting that there'd be no new products, as in the iWatch or the ITV or something like that.
Maybe no new product categories.
Yeah, I think that's possibly how it could be read, because I think it's highly unlikely that they'd go a whole...
I might have to pull you up on that one, Paul, because I think the wording was, I'm too lazy to open the link, but I think he said there were no new products until end of the year or next year, and that there would be an exciting product category. So I think he said them as two separate things.
Okay.
The product category presumably being the watch or something.
I can believe that
because, I mean, but the iPhone's on like an October cycle now. I mean, mm-hmm. the iPad's pretty good just now. It may just be that, you know, the next iPad mini would be hopefully a Retina one, and they might be having to wait a while until they've got capacity for that. And as for the Macs, not that we talk about them on this show, the next generation of Intel processors are expected in early quarter three, so they probably wouldn't get them into Macs much before August anyway.
And hopefully that will support the long overdue Mac Pro update. So maybe this is the...
Bah!
Hopefully that's one of the ones at the forefront of this new product cycle.
Jim did promise it. He did promise it, when was it, late? Last year, I think, that there would be a new Mac Pro.
He promised something. Something that would be exciting or interesting to people.
Is he going to dance for us or something? This is still on the Apple products, is it? So yeah, I guess we better not get too excited about product launches for a while. I wonder if on this topic, you know, we're going to have WWDC coming up in a month or two, a couple of months. And that sold out in 2 minutes. Was it less than 2 minutes this time?
2 minutes, yeah.
And of course, the expectation is if there are no products, that there will be the latest version of OS X, and hopefully, even though it's supposed to be delayed, iOS 7 as well, or at least a preview thereof.
Well, that would make sense, at least. I mean, it's pretty darn about time.
But I think we're going to have to wait, hang on for that one, aren't we?
Well, for the public release or for the what the developers get to see?
Well, I don't think we're going to hear anything before WWDC, are we?
No, that feels unlikely.
And so we're not going to hear anything about software or anything about hardware unless there are some leaks. So bring on the leaks.
Yeah, I could see some speed bumps on at least the Mac lines, but the iOS products, I think, will stay as they are for a while.
I think that's pretty much a certainty.
I was really looking forward to a Retina Mini as well.
Well, you're not getting one. I think we might come back to that. We might come back to that in a minute. I noticed that one of you has posted more iOS 7 concepts, YouTube link in there.
That's me.
I just, you know, I get a bit bored of these concepts. I just want to see leaked screenshots. You know,
these concepts were also particularly bobbins, in my opinion. I watched the video and I got a headache within the first 30 seconds because I was like, so he's swiped from this bit into this option screen, and then swiped from that option screen into another option screen. Now he's moving things around on the option screen. And what the hell is going on?
It's like a nervous...
Oh, you know what I did quite like about these concept videos? The concept videos are quite nice in that it kind of advertises jailbreaking. I jailbroke... That's the correct phrase. I jailbroke my phone a couple of years ago. I think it was my 3GS. Mm-hmm. And I felt a bit lost. It was like I did it and then I was like, well, what do I do now? I could tether it, but then I've got to pay £10 into this dodgy store for it to get a tethering app.
Yeah.
This was before tethering was available. And I really didn't know it was available. But these concept videos and subsequent videos actually give you a really good view of the really, really cool stuff that's available if you jailbreak. Now, I have to say, none of it was cool enough for a make me jailbreak my phone.
Yeah.
But equally, it was kind of like going, well, these are some cool stuff. The main reason I'm not jailbreaking my phone is because a lot of banking apps, which I use banking apps on my phone, detect whether your phone is jailbroken or not and don't allow you to use them, which would be a huge pain in the arse for me. But a lot of that stuff is actually quite cool. Some of like the home screen, able to switch on and off crap and that kind of thing. It's quite cool.
Very nice. I'm with you on that one. I've never seen anything that's really compelled me to jailbreak. And I think unless there's a killer app in the Cydia repository or something, I'm just not going to bother. It's like too much effort. And so on the subject of iOS unexpected behavior, which I suppose we're almost on, iMessage has gone crazy this week. It has been deleting certain words out of iMessages, namely Obama and surprise.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting because I wrote down both words to try and work out if there was some kind of correlation, a certain letter at a certain point in the word and things like that. But it's not
like
just
if they've
those
got
words.
A swear word in them or something.
Well, yeah, or even like, for example, if the third character's a Z, you know, it's got some kind of weird bug that says if the third character's a Z, it makes it. Yeah. And it's not just those words. Those are the two that's kind of come up in the article. But apparently this has been happening for a while in a variety of different words. And the really interesting thing is if you copy and paste the message, the word reappears.
No way.
Yeah, that's part of the bug. So it's there. It's just hidden on both the sender and the receiver. It's wild.
What are they up to? Mm. That sounds like they've been playing around with something. Or maybe, you know, they've not been keeping their testing stuff to a separate environment. Or
yeah,
it's one of those daft kind of things, isn't it? It'd be quite good if it was filtering out the words Ed and balls. For context, that's from Ed Balls.
There's one guy we can blame.
So yeah, that was an odd one.
Scott Forstall.
Does anyone know if it's been resolved yet, or is that one still outstanding?
I'm assuming we'd need a point release, and there hasn't been a point release recently.
Oh, do you not think they could fix it server side, or do we think it's
you're right. Yeah.
But if you want to text the words Obama and surprise to your friends and via iMessage, of course, and have them not appear, you might as well have your fun now while you still can.
I think you've got to actually text the whole message and have the last word as Obama.
What's the last word, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That is one
of the... It's got to have a trailing space as well, so you have to have Obama space or surprise space, and otherwise it doesn't work.
I think all my iMessages end in Obama space or surprise space. It's got a crazy life I lead. I've just been completely distracted by who's put in this news item, which I will admit I've not read, which is Apple has been granted a patent for jiggling.
That was me.
Ian, do you want to explain the jiggling for the children at home?
I don't think it's my place, Roddy, but apparently it's that thing that happens when you try to move your apps around on iOS.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's also a thing that's...
Well, one of you go first.
It's actually part of the core OS. So when you're writing, and you can actually do a jiggle, which basically jiggles the very few apps do it, but yeah, it jiggles the text box if like there's an error or something like that. So for example, if you had to put in a password that included one special character, and you tried to go to the next screen, it's part of the core OS that you can make that jiggle movement happen as like to show you there's an error message. It's weird. It's actually called jiggle on all the documentation and things like that.
They're actually getting jiggy with it.
They indeed they are.
Na 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 na
na na na na. Na.
Lovely. So what else have we got in our news trough? The Google Now has appeared in the Google search app for iOS, and that's today's news, I think. So that's hot off the news press.
Wow.
And Google Now, as I understand it, is one of the little key things in Android, isn't it? That it sort of shows you pertinent information. It's almost like what Ian was talking about last time, where... what was he talking about? It wasn't numbers, where he was saying, you know, what he really wanted was something where, you know, an Android, it can just present you with sort of the pertinent information you want. On the home screen, we were talking about the new thing from Panic Software as well.
Something that shows you what you want to see without having to go too deep into apps and the rest of the phone,
basically. It's just summarizing your content, really, isn't it?
It does a bit more than that, though. I didn't really delve into the trough of Google Now when I was playing my Android phone. But one thing that really did impress me is if I was in Safari, that would be insane on an Android phone. I'm trying to think of an example. Blah, blah, blah. When I had my Android phone, we were going to the Glasgow Pram Centre. It was a wild May, Easter Monday. And I had done a search for it just to find the phone number. And then later on in the day, I happened to swipe to Google Now on the screen. And it was giving me directions to the Glasgow Pram Centre without being prompted to or anything like that. I thought that was quite interesting, but equally... It was one of them funny things that I didn't actually delve further into it to find out what else Google Now can do. Now, on the Mac show, Carl Madden was in the Mac Show this week, and he was talking about how Google now does all sorts of cool things about it knows where you are, it knows where you live, it knows the trains that you have to get, so it can kind of say you have to leave now to get the train to get back to your house for X amount of time because you have an appointment. And that kind of stuff's really cool, and I'm kind of regretting not looking into Google a little bit more when I played on my Android device. But if that appears as an app on iOS, I think it'll be interesting, but I think it needs a little bit more deeper integration to iOS before...
And it's just sitting inside the Google search app, so it's using whatever data Google have collated for you, basically, yeah, presumably against mm-hmm. your Google account as well. And there is a fine line between intelligent and creepy. That's like Siri just piping yeah. up out of nowhere going, I'm watching you, Roddy.
Is that the tagline on your dating profile, Roddy?
The fine line between intelligent and creepy. And we have a show title. Fantastic. These things just fall into place these days, don't they? I was just thinking as we were having that discussion, I was listening to a comedy podcast the other day, and they said they had some feedback saying how they never talked over each other. They said it was amazing how, you know, they just never seemed to talk over each other. And I thought, we are the exact opposite of that, aren't we?
I think it's only
there we go.
Case in point, I think it's fair to blame Skype for much of that, though.
Yeah, Skype's being a little bit poor today, so apologies if there have been a few little audio dropouts there. Shall we finish scratching around in the depths of the news?
Indeed,
we've got some iPad news. We've got supposedly yield issues are holding back the Retina iPad Mini. Until October, apparently. Are we really expecting an iPad Mini until October, before October anyway? It seems like if it's on a yearly cycle, that's when we'd expect the new one anyway.
We made that assumption with the iPad big, mm-hmm. for want of a better way of describing it. I agree. I don't think we're expected before October, but I was hoping for it before October, if that makes sense.
It doesn't seem to be such a biggie on the Mini, though, because it is, you know, the screen... while it's not as high res, it's smaller, so I didn't feel quite as cheated when I used one.
No, I didn't. I mean, a lot of people were complaining about it, but equally, I like shiny new things, so I was wanting a Mini, Retina Mini. But Mini's absolutely fine.
Well, you're not getting one. Job.
Yeah, I know.
And on the subject of the iPad, look, this is a Paul Wheatley-style segue there. The iPad has topped the JD Power customer satisfaction poll, not once, but for the second time in a row, which means people think it's okay to have and use, which is nice.
It is the Subaru of tablets.
Do you mean it's got a really big exhaust and makes a racket and is driven by idiots?
Maybe.
Right.
Are any of those things even vaguely true?
They are Subaru Imprezas, yeah.
Want to watch what you allege about tablets? Anyway.
I've alleged worse about worse things.
I've never heard of the JD Power Honours. Is that like some kind of award for people that shop at JD Sports?
No, Paul, they're just a consumer research group.
No one wins at shopping at JD Sports. It's a good name, though, isn't it? Imagine your name was JD Power. Isn't it? Didn't Homer Simpson change his name to something
like that?
He was
Max Power.
Max Power. What's your name? I'm JD Power.
He said he was Max Power, and then somebody said, "Wow, that's a great name." And he said, "Yeah, I got it from the side of the hairdryer."
But JD Power is named after somebody who was called JD Power.
That's... Well, there you go. Ian, you just have to bring us all back to us with a thumb.
Yes, I do.
You suck. One last thing sitting in, this was a last minute addition to our news trough, was the iBeetle, which is a Volkswagen Beetle. And actually, I have to say, I quite like the new Volkswagen Beetle. The old one was just a little bit lumpy. New one looks quite cool. It's absolutely the car that Hitler intended to have on the streets. Are you allowed still allowed to say that? It is the people's car. And it does have... I'm going to get this wrong. It does have iPhone integration, doesn't it? It's got a dock.
Integration, but it's more than that. Apple actually worked together with them on it.
And it's accessorized, isn't it? So the colors match your iPhone or complement your iPhone. Yeah. It's a design classic.
It's actually called the iBeetle. It's not just like a Beetle with Apple integration. It's actually, this is kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I sort of wish they'd stop. Much as I love Apple and everything, I wish they'd stop calling things iThings. I thought we'd got over that a while ago.
Mm, nope.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to keep going. I'm getting a bit bored.
When, when they started calling all those things that didn't start with I, you mean?
Yeah, just all those things.
But the biggest thing is other companies kind of meandering off and calling everything I. So, you know, any brand that wants to kind of feel cool and hip to the young people these days, just add an I at the beginning of their name.
To the point that Apple had to license the name iPhone back from Cisco, did they not? Mm-hmm. Or someone like that. Brilliant. Yeah.
There was a company, I'm not going to name them on the off chance that somebody listens to this, but there was a company that...
Did somebody just bang a gong there?
Sorry, no. I have a plastic Apple that is an iPad holder that fell off my laptop.
I thought you were banging a gong to illustrate a point.
No.
Sorry, you carry on.
I used to, it was a company used to supply a place that I worked a couple of years ago, and they were an analytics firm, and they had the word site in their title. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could probably make out the rest up, but I'm not going to say anything for fear of getting sued or something. But anyway, so they had site as in a website. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to rebrand because they didn't like the fact that they were kind of being connected to the internet as being site, because they did a lot more. They did a lot more about data mining and customer data and all this kind of stuff, which makes complete sense that they wanted to rename themselves. So they changed their name, and all they did was... They got a completely generic word and then put an I at the beginning of it.
Oh.
And I had to actually explain to them, once they'd rebranded and they went through this whole process, to tell them that the I actually means internet. And there was this kind of look of, oh no! And it's a massive company as well. Why nobody at any point went, we're doing this rebranding to get away from being connected with the internet, and we're changing our name to the internet.
Do you remember years and years, it must be about 10 years ago now, beta.com caused merry hell by, there was some company, all these insurance companies and things were rebranding to names like Fluffy Yellow and all this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And one of them changed their name and registered the .com web address and didn't register .co.uk. And so beta.com registered it and put a stupid animation on it. And eventually, I think this assurance company or whatever they were, eventually actually backed out of their rebrand.
Wow.
Phenomenal. I don't imagine that was a cheap exercise, either going into the rebrand or coming out again. So that's us. A wonderful 22 minutes into this podcast. My name is Roddy McCleary, and I'm handing over the reins to Paul Wheatley. Hello, Paul.
Wow, hello, wow. You know, we should do this. We should just take a section each. That makes life more interesting.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, Streak might say more than 7 words in a whole show if he's hosting a section as well.
Unlikely.
What? No. I'll just start grunting and like a teenager or something.
So we'll move on swiftly into the competition. So... we have a number of articles in here for to discuss about the competition. So the first thing is the Galaxy S4, which is released in the beautiful United Kingdom, I believe, Wednesday, the 1st of May.
And it, by some coincidence, it is also the prize for our competition, which we're not running as usual.
There is no competition.
That joke, we're going to have to give up that joke eventually.
If only we just renamed that section to something as ambiguous as Trouble Gusset, then we'd be sorted.
You know, I would love some stats on how much of this show for the past year we've spent talking about renaming sections in relation.
We should
to,
just change the order of them
Apple
as well.
Stuff.
We do it in a different order every time. I think it would introduce the frisson of excitement that our jaded listeners have been waiting for.
So anyway, the Samsung Galaxy S4 reviews come in underwhelming, apparently. It's a good phone, but it's nothing special.
Do you know what have is guys- missing here is the... And I'm just going to talk over you now, because I don't care.
Well, I'm going to talk over
well,
you.
Well, I talked over him first. Do you have to wait your turn to talk over me or him? So the thing is, that it looks exactly, really does look exactly like the S3. I know it's very slightly different around the edges, and there isn't a furore like there was when Apple brought out the 3GS that looked really like the 3G, or the 4S that looked really like the 4. They seem to be focusing on other elements of the Samsung Galaxy S4's slightly lackluster pool, but not the fact it's just exactly looks very similar.
It looks somewhere between the S4 and the Galaxy Tab as well.
Yeah.
But
they've changed the sides.
But yeah, so the reviews have come in somewhat underwhelming. I'm a little disappointed, I have to say, because I really wanted the Samsung Galaxy S4 to really make a bit of a splash.
You mean like lovely presentation when they unveiled it?
Well, it's more a case of I kind of wanted them to do something for make Apple sit up and notice. And I know Apple aren't the kind of people that kind of go, "Oh my goodness, they're doing something. We better retaliate."
Heavens to Betsy.
Style. but it might have, if Samsung Galaxy S4 had come in and made a huge splash in the market, it would actually given some competition for Apple to kind of come along and go, "Guys, we want to pull our socks up a touch." So I'm quite disappointed. Also, equally, I was kind of wanting some reason, because if we thought that the S4 was going to be really popular, we might have gotten one at work for a play with, and I'm kind of disappointed with that.
But they're so big, it's like holding six different phones at once. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it is. Well, I think my big complaint with the S4 is it's still plasticky. That's the thing. All the, you know, your HTC One, which is a lovely, lovely bit of hardware.
So I want one of those.
Almost iPhone 5-esque. And just compared to the HTC One, the Samsung feels like a piece of crap. It does feel cheap. And you're right. I mean, as much as they've put a kind of little aluminium effect chamfered edge around the side, which isn't even aluminium. It's just coloured plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Samsung could totally up their game. And I think they're always going to sell phones. You know, they sold a pile of the S3. They will sell a pile of the S4. It is sort of the flagship Android phone, isn't it?
The tragedy of it is that there's actually a lot of really nice bits of tech in there, but the phrase that's been used most often about the S4, as far as I can see, is kitchen sink. It's got everything, but you don't want everything. So I just found out today, I hadn't read this before, that it has a little thing where if you hover your finger over the screen, there's like an infrared sensor in it. Oh, yeah. It will work out where your finger is and like hover up little kind of pop-ups for you without you touching the screen, so you can see if you're hovering over a calendar entry what is extra details about it before you select it. And that's pretty cool, but you know, it just gets lost with this huge avalanche of features.
It's a Microsoftian approach to the feature set, that they just sort of bombard you with features that you'll probably never use while sort of failing to update the core functionality and improve it.
I know we're in the competition section here now, but have you guys seen the latest iPhone ad that's been doing the rounds?
Well, I don't think I have seen the new one, actually.
No, it's very
basically
good.
It's like an advert for a camera. It's a very good ad, but it just kind of says at the end, and there's a phone attached. It doesn't say that.
Well, no, it's the simplest way. It just has people taking photos of things with their iPhone, and then in the end, more photos are taken with an iPhone every day than with any other device.
Not bad.
Or camera or something. And it's just like, oh, yeah.
It's we'll put a link in the show notes to the advert.
Just as well stuff from my camera roll didn't end up in the advert.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is that's a nice, simple message. And Samsung has never, ever had a simple message for anything, as far as I can tell.
How hard could it be?
They tried in the US, I think, but I'm not sure how long that lasted before they went back to their old tricks of... Well, basically, pummeling on Apple again. iSheep.
Lol.
Also, I've mentioned this in the notes, but there are 11 different variants of the Galaxy S4. It's like, if you read one about a review about the US model, that might not be what you buy in this country, because it'll have a different CPU, a different GPU, and potentially other stuff different.
Is that the home premium version, or...?
That's
the thing. You don't get the cheapest, you just get the one that is sold in your country. And, you know, it might be an 8-core 1.7 gigahertz thing, or it might be a 4-core 1.9 gigahertz thing, or, you know, and it doesn't necessarily make a big difference to how the phone feels, but it might do. And you don't know on the basis of other people's reviews whether or not the one you get is going to be similar.
But you don't know, do you? You just don't know.
And then there's the carrier thing, too. The carriers can still shove whatever shovelware they want into it before you get it into, like, the customer hands. So, that's not so sweet.
They're trying to do it for iPhones and stuff as well, but I'm not going to talk about that on this podcast.
Yes,
I'm going to keep you all in suspense.
Okay. So, apparently, the new BlackBerry is good. The Z10 and the... Is it the Q10? I can't remember. Anyway, the Z10.
The Q stands for QWERTY.
Oh, see what they've done there.
I thought it was for Q-tip. Darn.
Does the Z stand for Zerty? Anyway.
So it's apparently good if you need a hardware keyboard. Again, it's a Business Insider link, so I'm assuming nobody has bothered to...
Can we have a new rule that we don't put Business Insider links on here?
Okay, but the, unfortunately, I get an email every day.
The last show.
Yeah, we probably...
Haven't we had for longer than that?
Anyway, okay. We'll skip over the next
one.
Trying
to guilt trip you, Paul, at all.
I saw, you know, you could actually have linked to... There was an Ars Technica story about the Q10. You just behave yourself, Wheatley. There was an Ars Technica review of the Q10 that said it was... And they said something like, it's the smartphone that pretends the iPhone never came out. Which I thought was quite nice. Because it's got a hardware keyboard, you see. That's why they said
that. Sounds an awful lot like exactly like what that company would do. So, yeah, it fits. It fits their profile.
That sounds like a heck of an innovation, guys. We should get on this.
We should start a podcast about this.
Nah, it's just crazy talk. Michael, we've got loads of stuff for the competition section.
Yeah,
Paul,
I know.
Paul, you've got to segue your way through this beautifully. Come on.
Okay. So we're talking about keyboards and... No, I can't do this one. Dell tells us why Dell tablets are the right choice for your business.
Dell make keyboards for their...
They do? Yeah. Not great keyboards, but they're still keyboards.
Yeah,
Dell make keyboards. So apparently Dell are really pushing their tablets, which I have to admit, I actually thought that they didn't make a tablet anymore, but they seem to have rebranded it to kind of be more in line with their laptops. So you'll remember the elusive Dell Streak that came out a little while ago. Unfortunately, our namesake on the panel did not copyright his name, otherwise he could have made a killing there, but never mind.
Biggest mistake of my life, that's all I'm going to say.
It's not a real tablet, that's a thing. It's a Windows 8, but not RT tablet, so it's a big fat tablet.
I just figured out a better segue, by the way. I mean, talk about the iPad never happening. These guys are really like delusional about this.
Well, Dell are kind of fairly in that whole delusional space right now, kind of desperately is hoping.
Okay, can I read a little bit of this? Can I really?
Ian, give us a dramatic reading. I want a dramatic reading.
He's only going to read out the numbers.
Tablets are great. They're light, portable, not too expensive, and packed with helpful, accessible applications. What was originally an amazing consumer device has also become a winner in the world of business. These are all instant reasons to get or equip your workforce with tablets.
But tablets.
They're just that. Instant reasons. Not well thought out reason planned decisions. After the first blush of tablet mania, we're now at the point where it's time for serious planned adoption.
Like Madonna.
I'm going to stop now.
I know, sir. I'm quite worried about the idea of Dell pushing tablets because it sounds like a guy in a nightclub.
Well, if you look at Michael Dell,
The availability of mobile device management MDM software.
Oh,
wow!
Remind you of anything? Huh?
I nearly said a swear there. MDM. Yes. Oh, that makes me sick.
Speaking of computer companies in America, Yankee Group says Android has peaked in the US.
Effortless link.
Beautiful.
You're a pro.
So on the same week, actually, that smartphone sales overtook feature phone sales as well, which is interesting. I actually was quite shocked. I thought that must have happened a while ago, but apparently not.
I'm amazed there are still feature phones, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I've not seen a feature phone. Oh, no, actually, that's a lie. There was a guy on the platform at Haymarket in Edinburgh last Tuesday or Wednesday, and he was sitting working away on an iPhone 5 with a massive crack down the middle of the screen, and then he pulled a feature phone out of his pocket and answered it. Which, there's a reasonable chance that he had like a work feature phone and his iPhone 5 was his, and that kind of makes sense. Or he just cracked the screen, didn't want to scratch his face by putting it up to his answering phone calls, so I'd moved the SIM card out into a feature phone.
I would draw your attention, gentlemen, to the second last thing in the new in the competition news section.
Indeed.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Speaking of little feature phones. Mm-hmm. The new $20 Nokia 105 doesn't have Wi-Fi, but it does have 35 days of standby time.
That's like a girl I used to know.
Is that just she didn't have Wi-Fi?
I said that out loud, didn't I? Sorry.
It might have happened, yeah.
I've broken my inner monologue.
I think we heard that, yes.
Yeah.
I want to see, there's not a picture of it. There's no picture of it, the link. I'm going to look it up, a Nokia 105. I bet this is one sexy-ass phone.
Nokia, I'm going to bet against that, sadly.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, it's a telephone.
Are you sure? Does it have a touchscreen? Does it look like a telephone?
Do you know it's quite...
Does it run Android?
I think it's quite svelte. It has clean lines. It has has buttons and a screen. That's quite good.
It does the job.
It comes in a range of colours.
Hmm. Actually, that's not awful.
That's quite... And how much did it say it was?
$20.
See, that's perfect. Because my...
15, 16 pounds?
My eldest phoned me just before we went on this podcast to announce that the iPhone 4 that I gave him on Saturday, that's Saturday, 2 days ago, teenagers knocked it out of his hand and it smashed. That's 2 days of ownership.
Damn those teenagers.
So I need...
Of course, always teenagers.
It wasn't him just not looking where he was going. No, it was teenagers. So I'm going to get him a Nokia 105. And shall I give you an update on that next time?
Yes, yeah.
So post a photograph of his sad face to the show notes as well. I'll get you can contribute.
Roddy, you can contribute it to the Reasons My Son Is Crying Tumblr.
Oh, I saw that. Was brilliant. Highly recommended. Paul, feed us more competition.
Yes, and while we're talking about people crying, Windows Phone, we don't have any news for Windows Phone.
No, but we do have one other bit of... No. We skipped over something, which was shocking thing for me. The most shocking thing.
Samsung Galaxy Tab 3.
No, let me read it out. Google has now banned Android apps that update themselves. Because apparently, up until very recently, if you had an app, it could just update itself and it didn't have to get an update from the Google Store. So it could just completely do different things, which is kind of scary. And I'm frankly alarmed that that was even allowed before. But... I can kind of see
why they have a slight malware issue over on Android in a way.
That's bewildering.
Yeah, but what do I know? I'm safe ensconced in my cotton wool safe Apple world.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, Ian, enlighten us with your number this evening.
Well, it's more like a combination of numbers. Anyway, there are two numbers and they're related. The first one is 40%, which is the amount of apps that are downloaded out of all the apps in the world for iOS. So other platforms have 60%, Apple has 40%. But of revenue of paid apps, Apple has 74% of the market and everyone else has whatever's left. So if you want to make money from apps... then iOS is a better place because they seem to spend a lot more money than anyone else.
So that 40%, so that's the amount of apps that are downloaded on Apple devices?
Yes. There was an analysis company called Canalys, I think it's called, and they did these numbers, they did surveys and said 40% of apps are on iOS, 60% are on other platforms. There's probably a number for 100 in there too. But in terms of money, 74% of it is paid out on the Apple platform.
Jings.
Hmm. Wow.
And apparently the revenue for iTunes division this quarter was $4 billion.
Wow.
They broke even a long time ago.
That's quite interesting stats. Ian, can you put the link in the show notes or put in the Skype window and I'll add it to the show notes so people can read more about these interesting numbers should they want to. So on to our craplocations, gentlemen. Have you got some craplocations loaded into your crap gun this evening?
I've got two.
Wow.
I've got one proper craplocation, and then I've got an honorary mention, which is something I really didn't expect to be a craplocation. Slightly annoyed by. Can I go first? Can I do mine now?
You go first. You go first.
My first one is Goat Puzzle Lite, which
that just sounds like it's going to be rubbish.
I really like goats. I don't know. There's this thing about goats. Maybe it's their scary square pupils in their eyes. That's not nice. But maybe it's their little beards or their tusks or whatever you call the things on the top of their heads. But goats and I just have this little thing. And I wanted to find a goat application. So I naturally gravitated towards Goat Puzzle Lite, which is free in the iTunes App Store. So when I fired it up...
Ruddy, would it be safe to say you've goat to have it?
Lol. So I'm just firing it up now. I don't know if you can hear the I'm going to put the sound up so you can hear the brilliant music. Although it's not brilliant, it's terrible. What it promises to be, the full goat puzzle that's not the light version, has a picture of a goat, and when you go in, it comes to bits, and you have to put the picture of the goat back together. Now, this one doesn't appear to have a goat in it at all. It's just some people. So it's covered in adverts, naturally. The very first screen you go to is trying to get you to buy the full version. Constant adverts at the top. When I go into the game, it brings up, I get to pick the picture I would like to do a puzzle of. So it's made the puzzle. Now, unfortunately, the first time I did this, it's got a score bit in the top right that you can tap on. And one of the pieces of my puzzle went under that. So I couldn't actually finish the puzzle, so it's got absolutely no sort of error conditioning at all, and it's absolute rubbish. So I would recommend, if you like goats or love them, don't buy Goat Puzzle Lite, because it's bobbins. It's not even.
I just took a look at the images here on the iTunes Store, and it really looks rather.
Do you know?
Scary.
The most curious thing is, when I looked at the iTunes preview page and I was putting it into the show notes, it says it's the official game for the movie. Are you ready for the movie title? Goat Story with Cheese. That's Goat Story with Cheese. And I'm like, right, okay, it's enough that this is like some kind of dreadful ad-infested pile of badly coded rubbish, but they're now making up films. So, and I grudgingly Googled Goat Story with Cheese, and it is actually a Czechoslovakian kids film. There's a Goat Story 2 is coming out as well. So, if you like Goat Story with Cheese there. So that's my first crap application. The second one is the... I don't know if you noticed. You're going to have to excuse me because Paul's just dropped off the...
Sorry, I just did a power cut.
What, mentally or...
No, all the power in the house just went down for like a second, which obviously rebooted my router. That was weird.
Well, nice of you to come back. I was just getting incredibly distracted by your disappearing act there. So you're just in time to hear my second crap application, which...
Ruddy, before you go into that, can we find out if you've tried Go Go Goat, Goat Battle Epic Online Challenge, Buttermilk the Bouncing Baby Goat... Tiger and Goat HD, Pleasant Goat and Big Big Wolf, Happy Goat HD Light.
Ian, we should go out
top
clubbing.
Goat Light, Goat Up, Goat Him Up.
Ian, goat I think spot. We should go out clubbing. We should introduce ourselves to ladies as Pleasant Goat and Big Bad Wolf and ask if they'd like to guess which one's which.
Okay, I'm game if you are. One of these is at least by Llamasoft, so it should be quite good.
Oh, that's the Jeff Minter seal of approval there.
Indeed,
or goat
indeed.
Of approval, as it were. Can I do my other crapification now?
All right.
Well, I'm just going to bloody do
please.
It anyway. I got dead excited and got all foamy and excited that there was a new Delicious Library coming out, because it's been years since Delicious Library 2 came out for OS X, which is, of course... a library, a repository for, you can basically store all your things you own in it. So, you know, your iTunes library and all your DVDs, you can type in all the things you own. And then you've got this wonderful catalogue of all the things you've got. It ties into your contacts. If you lend something to somebody, you can drag it over to their name and then you know what you've lent out. So it was a very nice bit of software, and wonderfully, it had a really good look and feel that Apple then nicked for iBooks. So that kind of bookshelf visual metaphor was originally Will Shipley's when he did Delicious Library 2. Now they've brought out Delicious Library 3. I didn't even look at it before pressing the buy button on the Mac App Store because I was so confident it'd be great, and it's pretty good. But it comes with a companion iOS scanning tool called Delicious Scanner, which is free on the App Store. Now I was like, okay, this is brilliant, because this means I can go around with my phone and I can go and scan the barcodes of all my DVDs, and this is all a bit anal, I know, but scan the barcodes of all my DVDs and Xbox games and stuff like that, Now, when I fired it up, it just had this very, for all the wonderful design metaphors and the look and feel of Delicious Library, it just came up with this really kind of grim, you know, poor colour choice text spiel about what it was supposed to do, which didn't feel as refined as their software usually does. So then I went into, got rid of that, went into the, I paired it with Delicious Library, which you do by just taking a photograph of a little prompt it puts up on screen. So I ran off to all my Xbox games and started to scan them. Now what it does is you scan it and it's actually quite quick. It brings up a little sort of, when it recognises it, it does a little snapshot. It's got quite a nice little thing. But, you know, I've got sort of God knows how many Xbox games. As I went through scanning all of them, if it finds one that it has an error with, it doesn't offer you any way of dealing with it at all. It keeps it in the queue as an error. It doesn't let you edit or put a note in or anything. And I just feel this app feels very, very rushed from a company that tend to have such quality and such sheen to their products. So I'm hoping that we'll get an update of that that will fix it. And it's Delicious Scanner, it's free, and it's rubbish.
Is it definitely the same provider? Is it not one of these things that somebody's using the API or something?
No, it's definitely really the same company.
Yeah. Mm. So I was a bit
disappointed.
That made me a bit sad, that one.
Yeah.
Why doesn't one person talk at once?
I missed out on the whole Delicious Library thing to begin with. And I think it was at an Edmug, actually, Roddy. You showed me the Delicious Library, but it was at the point where it's no longer around anymore. Mm. I quite like the idea of it. However, now I kind of feel, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm a little bit out of this, but I kind of feel it's missed the boat a little bit, because if everything's moving digital, it kind of removes the need for Delicious Library, doesn't it?
But that's true. It can scan in all your, you know, import all your iTunes stuff, but then all your iTunes stuff's there on iTunes, so...
Yeah.
I see your point.
I thought about buying it, and then I saw screenshots that showed that you could choose, like, 17 different kinds of wood for your shelves, and I thought, maybe not.
Monsieur Roberto, this evening, what can you bring us for our craplication?
It's something I picked up from IGN earlier this week. It's called Super Monster Brothers. I'm not even sure if it's still around on the store. I took a quick search before we started recording, and I couldn't find it, fortunately.
Is this the one that was on... was it IGN or something?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, I saw this. This is bananas. Tell us about it.
It's so horrible. It's a really, well, to be honest, crap platformer. I think it's only on the iPad, but I could be wrong. And it's so full of rip-offs of other, like, real famous games like Pokemon and Super Mario's in there. And it's so horrible in every single way, rip-off. And it constantly pesters you to do an in-app purchase. A pretty expensive one, might I add. Just like another character to play with is, what, $99?
I know, bananas.
Insane.
$99?
Yeah.
There's one you can get for $4.99, and another one's £49, and then two of them are $99. And these are all on the first screen you go into.
Yep, before you even get to the actual game.
And Robert, what happens when you get into the actual game?
I just get angry when I think about it. It's so broken. I mean, you can't even fall down, like, off the platforms, apparently. This, like, big, flat land. You can just keep walking until you bump into an enemy. I'm not even sure what happens then. I'm not going to touch this with a 10-meter stick.
I don't know if you watched far enough into the video, but what happens is once they've gone in, having refused to buy one of the expensive characters, you get 30 bullets to shoot with, and after you run out, once you use your bullets, it says, would you like some more? That's $1.99 for another 30 bullets.
I suppressed my memory of that. That was... It's like you have to do an in-app purchase to get more fireballs for Super Mario when he gets the Fire Flower. It's just insane. And so horrible. It really is a 100% craplication. And I'm glad if it's gone from the iTunes store.
The one thing that's going to be more expensive than an in-app character for Super Monster Brothers is going to be Robert's therapy, having been exposed to it.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. That's another couple of 14 hours at least.
Ian, do you have a craplication for us tonight?
I do not, I'm afraid, Paul. All the applications I've done recently have been just fine.
Okay. Well, I have Mini Golf Mashup. And what this game basically is, I quite like little kind of crazy golf-related games on the iPhone. I really quite like them. And this one started off really, really nicely. It's a very kind of like crazy golf. You pull back and you make the ball go and it bounces off walls and things like that. But once you get to the third hole, when you're kind of getting into it and you're thinking, yeah, I quite like this game. It's kind of cutesy poo. It's like really vivid colours and things like that. But it's quite a nice little game. It then says, right, to go any further, we have to match you up with an opponent. So you can't just kind of run through this game on your own. It's trying to bring in this whole kind of draw something idea whereby it matches you up with somebody to play against. And I just kind of thought that there's absolutely no way to play this game without being matched up with somebody. And it just really annoyed me. It was this game was really good and it actually had a lot of potential. And they just crapped out by forcing you to socialise with people. It's ridiculous.
I tell you, you wouldn't speed dating, would you?
But I was really disappointed. It had good makings of a really good golf game, but there was no way I could get any further without going out and searching for people to play with.
Well, you never
and
asked
I eventually
me.
Kind of. Oh, but do you have that game?
Well, I could get it, Paul. I've got free time, Paul, for you.
It's rubbish. Anyway, so this podcast and all the others on this glorious thing that we call the British Tech Network is brought to you by the awesome people at UK2. They provide all sorts of fantastic services such as VPNs, domains, anything that you want your website to be on the internet with, they will help you with. There's too many withs in that sentence. They are absolutely superb. They've been supporting the British Tech Network for a couple of years now, and they're going to continue to support us because you guys are buying stuff from them, and that's fantastic. If you want to buy anything from them, we really, really encourage you to come through the BritishTechNetwork.com, primarily because the kind of counter click-throughs. So if you use the logo on the website, on the British Tech Network website, they actually they can see that we've sent you. Whereas if you just use one of our voucher codes or something like that, you could have like maybe got them from, I don't know, one of those kind of vouchery websites or something like that. So really, really appreciate if you come on over to the British Tech Network, you click on the sponsors link, and then you click on UK2. That'd be absolutely superb. So thank you very much, UK2. They support British Tech, and we hope that you will support them too. So, gentlemen, are you finished sending screenshots to each other?
I wasn't sending nothing.
Maybe.
nothing happened there.
I certainly will not admit to have seen any screenshots.
I wouldn't send things to everyone except Paul while he's trying to be serious on it. Have I said it to you, Paul? I don't know. I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
Okay. Anyway, so Ian, what is your pick for this evening?
My pick, Paul, is something that one of our listeners kindly recommended to me after I was complaining last time about Calvetica not doing what I wanted it to. He recommended an app called Fantastical to me. And I use Fantastical on the Mac, and I really, really like it, but I hadn't been aware there was an iOS version. So I went into it, I downloaded it, and I really, really like it. I think it's an excellent little calendar app. So if you're looking for a new calendar app, give it a go. It's $2.99 on the UK App Store.
Very good. I have gotten...
Oh, sorry, I was going to say it's worth noting that the full OS X version of Fantastical was in the Mac Heist Nano bundle that ended the other day.
Yep.
So you're too late.
That's incredibly helpful. I should also, just to say thank you, Graham, for your recommendation.
Thanks, Graham.
Yes. That's at the M Graham, spelt with an H.
Oh, he follows me on Twitter now.
Mm.
Poor sod.
So thank you very much, the M Graham. Roberto, what is your pick for this evening?
I have a game based on a very nice old comedy movie franchise from the 1980s, The Ghostbusters. It's free, which is also very nice. It does have some slight annoyances, but they're surprisingly few.
Goatbusters?
maybe. Ghost goats, and that sounds creepy. Anyways, there's a bit of the freemium stuff that's going around these days, but it's actually minimal. It's just before you start the game, and it doesn't really... It's not a crippled game in the aspect that you have to buy things constantly to keep progressing. You can actually really play the game. And it is a surprisingly good game. It's way better than the old ones that came back in the 80s for the NES and the Commodore 64 and the like. So Well, it's probably the best Ghostbusters game I've tried so far. I would recommend you go get it, really.
Cool. Okay, yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. I'll have a look at that. Mm-hmm. Roddy, what is your pick for this evening?
I'll keep it short because I've banged on about goats for ages. This one is Lemon Wallet, which is initially
free. You did what to goats?
I didn't do... the police have talked to me already. I've just got a caution. Drop it. So, Lemon Wallet, it's not really for putting lemons in.
Oh, wow.
Is an application. It's on the iStore. It's free. And what it does is, when you initially fire up, it invites you to take photographs of the cards in your wallet. Now, I know that sounds rather dodgy, but what I initially did was I took photographs of my loyalty cards, you know, sort of my Nando's cards and my Shell Drivers Club cards. And it takes a front and a back photograph, which it assists you with, and it puts it into this little wallet. And the wallet is very much like Passbook, where it has, you know, the little, you can see them peeking out. What you can then do is when it scanned it in, it tries to recognise the number. If it can't, you can type in the number. It will make a barcode so that if you're actually places that support this, you can actually just go and swipe your phone in the reader instead of the actual card, which is kind of cool. It can also export these to Passbook, so you can put the contents of your actual wallet into Passbook, which means you finally find a use for flipping Passbook after 7 months or however long it's been out for. What it does do, because of course it's free and there has to be a catch, is that you can pay a monthly subscription to have their sort of security thing where they will, you know, if you announce you've lost your real wallet, they'll cancel it all for you. Not really convinced myself. They also have a thing with supported banks. You can scan in your bank cards, and if your bank supports it, you'll be able to see balances and stuff. And again, I'm maybe not going to trust it quite yet for things like bank cards and credit cards, but just for, you know, loyalty cards and store cards, very cool, worth a look, and it's free.
It does say in the customer reviews that apparently there are no banking, UK banking support yet.
There are no UK banks. We just imagined it.
There's no UK banking support. So,
yeah.
I don't know how long ago that review was written, though, so it may have changed right now. But yeah, I quite like the look of it. It's got that whole kind of Apple-y, skeuomorphic, leather-bound sort of look and feel about it. Very good. Has everybody else done theirs? I've forgotten. Have I been around everybody?
It's yes, your turn, Paul. Do it.
It's my
do
turn.
It now.
So I've been using for years now, I've been using Evernote as my task manager. Basically, all that is making little ticky boxes in Evernote, and then I had a custom search that basically looked for any ticky box that didn't have a tick in it in Evernote. And that was kind of fine, but I kind of found myself... It's a serious first world problem. But if I was working away in Azure or Pixelmator or something like that, and then I realized, oh, I need to phone that person, but I'm not going to do it just now, I'd have to open up Evernote, find my to-do list file. Then there's a keyboard shortcut you can do for create a little ticky box, and then you have to type in your thing. So I've been trying lots and lots of different task managers, and I finally settled on OmniFocus on the desktop. My pick isn't the desktop app, it's the iPhone and iPad app, but that's the reason I went with OmniFocus, is because you can just do a quick keyboard shortcut, and no matter what app you're in, assuming OmniFocus is open, and it just creates the ability to just add a new task item straight there and then without you having to open up OmniFocus and click on new or anything like that. And so that then syncs across OmniFocus servers, which then means that your to-do list and everything like that is brought down to your phone. Now, OmniFocus isn't cheap. The iPad app itself is about £14. And the desktop app, which you can have either or you can have both. The desktop app, I think, is like $80, which I think works out about 60, 65 quid or something like that. So it's not cheap, but it's a high power task management software. I mean, if you're just doing it for to kind of keep a very small shopping list, then this isn't what you're looking for. But if you're looking for something to kind of manage work, home, maybe a little freelance work on the side or something like that, you've got lots and lots of tasks kind of going in your head. It's absolutely superb. Really, really liking it. And it's money well spent, in my opinion. But as I say, if you don't have that big a use for a kind of a heavy duty task management app, then you probably can find cheaper versions. But I really, really like it. And of course, it's from the Omni Group, and most of the stuff that they produce is actually pretty good. So I like it.
I've been around since like 19.
And who were originally founded by Will Shipley? Will Shipley was one of the founders of the Omni Group, and then he was.
Delicious monster who can't create a scanner app for the iPhone. And I will fight Will Shipley.
Oh, I don't think you want to do that.
I'll fight him in my mind.
He has more cats than you.
Oh, God, does he? I'm scared of him already.
I have the fight music from Star Trek playing in my head now, and as I'm imagining Roddy fighting Will Shipley.
It would just be me fruitlessly slapping him. Oh, get away,
is Roddy dressed like Captain Kirk in your imagination?
I'd be wearing my...
I tried to do it like that, yes.
My lurid pink body stocking.
Can I finish one?
My dinner. This has taken ages. Yes. Paul was late and he's rubbish and I'm hungry. When can I have my food?
Right, okay. Wait, one last thing just to talk about is the Bash very quickly. If you haven't gotten your ticket yet, please rush on over to the British Tech Network website, and there's a massive big link on the homepage for the Bash. It's £20. That is not an entry fee. That basically covers your food and drink for the day. We need to do it fairly soon because Ewan's needing to book caterers and a bar and things like that. So if you're thinking about coming and you just think, I'll put it off until closer to the time, really appreciate if you do it just now, because we need to get an idea of numbers and things like that so we know how many people to book the caterer and things like that first. So if you're thinking about coming along, please, please, please book your ticket straight away. It's not a case of, you know, Ewan's going to take all that money and like stick it on the stock exchange or something like that. It's more a case of he just needs that money so that he's got confirmed seats so we can get book caterers and a bar and things like that. It's going to be absolutely superb. I think a few of us are going to be there. The Gamer Show is going to be there. The Media Show. A few guys from the Mac Show are going to be there. The Big Show and everything like that. And we're going to do all the shows live during the day. It's going to be really, really good fun. Kids are free if you want to bring your children along. As I say, £20 per person. If you want to come down on the Friday night, we're all going for a curry the night before. Again, on the website, you can book your seat for that. So basically, that's a tenner just to kind of hold your seat, and then that tenner will come off your bill at the end of the night. I can honestly say, first-hand experience, it's one of the best curry houses I've ever been in. Absolutely superb. But that's basically it. So please, please, please get on over and get your tickets for the Bash. That's about it, really. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming along. I am Paul Wheatley on Twitter if you want to follow me. I'm also on app.net, but I never check it. Roddy, where can we find you?
I'm here.
Good. Ian, where can we find you?
I am also here.
Good. And Streak, where can we find you?
I'm pretty much here.
We're here.
Good. Grad. Well, that was us. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Good night.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.